Today's episode is all about numbers. You'll hear 12 tips to make your teaching, your remote teaching, better. You'll hear about four different types of teacher burnout. And you'll hear about four steps you can take to go from burned out to burned in teaching. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to 6 Tips and Tricks from the TOSA, a bi-weekly podcast meant to give you ideas, techniques, and strategies for the intentional use of technology in the classroom. And now here's my dad, Mike Brella.
Here we go, day 8 of the Ditch Summit, Monday, December 21st. I can't believe we're already 8 of the 9 days in. Today's presenter was one of the most energetic of the presentations, and it's Nicole Taylor, and she's an instructional technology coordinator, and she gives a passionate plea to teachers to think about and be intentional in how you go about planning your remote learning experience for your students. And her session's called 12 Tips and Ideas for Great Remote Learning. And it wasn't supposed to be this, but this list grew organically, out of the discussion between Nicole and Matt. So hopefully you enjoy these practical tips to help make remote learning and remote teaching more effective and more enjoyable. So right off the bat, Nicole and Matt bring up a really good point. What we're doing now during this period of remote learning, distance learning, virtual learning, high flex, whatever you're in, it can't simply be a conversion of your traditional teaching to what's happening now. Lessons that work for you in person don't necessarily or will not necessarily work virtually. So we've got to get rid of this idea that I can just take what I've been successful with in the classroom in the past, digitize it, replace it, and move on. It doesn't always work. In the spring, she talked about we continued to grow. We did good. And this is hard, but we're going to continue to do that. And they talked about some of the differences and some of the similarities between remote teaching and normal teaching, right? But I think the similarities were great. Nicole mentioned, you know, prep looks very similar to what we're used to, right? Always start with objectives. You start with the verbs. What do you want your students to do? Good teaching will start with that, regardless of if it's in person or not, right? You don't start with the tool. The tech tool just helps you to get to those objectives. You know, and there's a point that Nicole talks about where good teaching is good teaching. And I can't remember anymore where I heard it, which podcast. It might have been with Matt Miller, or it might have been Jake Miller. But all technology does is it amplifies the teaching. And it might have been Chris Nessie, actually, now I think about it. Right? Technology makes good teaching better and makes bad teaching worse. So you've got to start with your good sound teaching techniques, right? She talks about starting with your essential questions, engaging prior knowledge, right? Giving your students the opportunity to create and not regurgitate, right? But it looks very similar to what we're used to. But she says there's 12 tips that she gives for effective remote learning. First one, she says, give students autonomy, right? Give students autonomy. And this is nothing new, right? Ownership increases, you know, increased ownership leads to increased learning. She talks about using small choices to help. And then also, this is a great one. I love it, right? Give the teachers what we expect them to give the students. Teachers need PD autonomy as well right here, within reason, right? So first one, make students, give them autonomy. Number two, make your learning visual, right? At any point, especially now, without those kids right in front of you, it's hard to see if they're picking up. So do as much as you can to make their learning visual, right? Provide them opportunities to create videos, drawings, whatever it is. Have fun with it, right? That's her point. Let your passions run wild and have some fun, but make sure that their thinking is visual, not just yours. Number three, switch it up, right? Try a variety of activities, provide choice, a variety of different types of sources. You can get or give information in podcasts, videos, a whole host of different ideas. You know, and I think the big thing here is she talks about if the learners are having fun, they're learning. And that goes right into number four, which is bring the joy. Right? Tip number four, bring the joy. Make it fun for you. Right? It's like It's like anything you're selling. If you believe in the product you're selling, you're going to do a better job of selling it. If you're having fun, your students are more likely to have fun. And I know this is really hard in this time of learning when a lot of you feel like, you know, I saw that meme yesterday with Dora the Explorer again, where you're staring into a screen and waiting 3 seconds, nobody answers and you answer your own questions. But try it, right? Not to plug another podcast, but I'll plug another podcast here. Jim Sturdivant, Hacking Engagement, great guy, right? Gives you tons of practical tips on how you can go about engaging your students. Well, Jim interviewed a colleague of mine recently, Shane Neifer, and Shane teaches seventh grade life science. And you know, she talks about like making difficult things fun on this podcast episode. So go ahead and watch that one or listen to that one too, if you get a chance, where, you know, have fun. Enjoy. And then I love this last one. And she talks about bringing the joy and you know, taking time to notice that joy, right? Making sure you reflect on that joy. I think one of the things that has been a game changer for me is I started to journal recently. I have a couple of different versions. But one simple one that's geared towards teaching, it actually got me in the habit. It's called Permission to Pause. And I'll put a link to that. It's a Times 10 Publications book in the show notes, but you know, permission to pause has been great because, you know, it's all about being grateful, right? And science tells us you can't be grateful and stressed at the same time. So it's hard to bring that joy. Give yourself time to reflect on your positives, be grateful, and bring that joy into your life. I like that one. Number five, again, one of those themes we've heard time and time and time again, tap into the student's interests. Right. Make sure that you are learning about them, just like the culturally responsive one. Make sure you're using their interest to help guide your instruction. Six, be creative in synchronous spaces. Love this one. Right. When we talk about synchronous learning, it doesn't have to be sage on the stage, stand and deliver, you talking to the camera while kids listen. Right. Your goal is to get kids to talk. And believe me, you know, that's the one. If I could tell you, here's the one way you can get all of your middle and high school level students to talk in a video conference, in a Google Meet or a Zoom, I could sell millions and millions of dollars worth of books. But I know I don't have that answer yet, but you just keep trying. Right. Think about that. Like, is there ways you can increase student voice? Right. Maybe meeting in small groups, maybe offering office hours. I know we're a Google school and I use the appointment slots to meet with my teachers. And I know a couple teachers have already put that out to their students and it's been met with great success. And I look at my own son. My own son will purposely wait to be the last kid to leave a Google Meet, so he can ask his fifth grade teacher questions because he's not comfortable to ask those questions in class. He'll communicate, he'll participate, but he won't talk, right? So think about, you know, kids like my own son who won't talk in front of the whole group. How can you get them to talk, right? And then she talks about some examples of people who got it right. You know, one thing she talked about was, you know, her one daughter's teacher had a random dance party one day, getting student music choices and having a dance party. I like the one time she talked about, she said all of a sudden she heard this like a cacophony of noise and the teacher said, okay, everybody, I want you to unmute yourself and randomly say something to somebody to replicate that chaos and noisiness of the classroom, because we don't often have these quiet classes. So I love that one. Trying to find creative ways to use your synchronous spaces effectively. Number seven goes to that and is let go control the mute button. It's a hard one, and control's a myth. Right. By the way, we don't control things. We can't control what how our students receive our remote learning. And this doesn't come from her. This is something I was thinking about quite a bit, where I have a whole bunch of teachers and good friends of mine who are trying their darndest, trying their absolute level best each day to get kids engaged. And it's not working for some kids. And it's frustrating. And they're thinking like, how can we get them to buy in? How can we get them to participate? And the sad reality is, you know, sometimes maybe, you know, you do the best you can, but you can't control what happens on their end. Right. So you can't control everything in class. I listened to Rick Alexander, the Morning Coffee podcast, and he talked about control. The myth of control is like holding sand in the beach in two hands. Right. If you hold on loosely with one hand and then you grip sand, squeeze it as tight as you can, what happens to that sand? It leaves your hand, right? Time and teaching is the same way. The more you try and control it, control every second of the time, the less it's going to be effective, right? So let go of control of that mute button, right? There's been a whole bunch of research on how Zoom calls and video conferencing is so different because of those microseconds of the time it takes to unmute, right? So I know one, the band director in my middle school, Jason Hess, has, and now he'll admit it's a little different with him because he's in band and he's got a great relationship with students from the very beginning, but he's asked his kids to not mute themselves unless there's a barking dog or a little brother or something in the background. But he's asking them to not mute themselves so that natural flow of conversation is still there. And it's been working great. So let go of control of the mute button. Number 8, recreate spaces where kids can talk. Love this one, right? Let them speak. Let them speak so you know what they know and you can hear from them, right? What do they know? Creatively use the chats. He talks about this thing, this in classroom screen. Love it, where there's a red light, a yellow light, a green light. So go and listen to her little description how you can use classroom screen to help delineate when it's appropriate time to talking. Number 9, here you go. This is one that I bet you never thought you'd hear. Build relationships. How about that, right? Just like everything we've been hearing so far. Build relationships. You know, your content can't be first right now. It's got to be the kids. It's got to be your students. And you have to be intentional in the types of relationships you want to build, right? She talks about how you need some planning. And we have lost. I love it. You know, it's something that I didn't really, you know, it's right in front of your face, but you don't think about it. We've lost so many opportunities. Nicole points out this great, great thing where we've lost all these opportunities in that face-to-face interaction to connect with kids, right? That momentary, like, oh my gosh, I see you're wearing a Cowboys jersey. Boo, I hate the Cowboys. Or, oh, did you see the Phillies didn't sign Real Muto? Or, oh my gosh, you're wearing an NSYNC shirt. That's from when I was in high school. Like those types of things. We've lost those types of opportunities. So you've got to work extra hard to build those relationships with your students. And it's tough. Number 10, not only relationships with your students, but you've got to build relationships among your students. And you've got to focus on building community. Connect kids in the room with kids at home. And if you're in that high flex situation, connect kids at home with each other, right? And she gives some great ways when you're using synchronous work where you can do that, right? And she talks about using common collaborative spaces, places where things can, you know, get messy. Things like Google Jamboard, like Nearpod, Pear Deck, QuickDraw for like little activity and fun games, right? Allowing kids to share their own screens. You don't think about, and I never thought about, but she makes a great point, how much power that gives. That's like inviting the kid up to the whiteboard, right? I can remember, you know, when I was in sixth grade going up to the whiteboard to do math problems and thinking like, you know, my teacher, Mr. Reed, would say, well, go ahead, Mr. Brillo, you show. And I'd be like, oh man, I felt pretty impressive. It wasn't even a whiteboard. It was a chalkboard with green chalkboard with yellow chalk, by the way. That's how old I am. But let the kids share their screens. Right? Get messy with it. Have some fun. Build community. Number 11 is exactly what I just talked about. That last one is letting kids share screens so that they have some sort of ownership. And then the last one, number 12, this is one that should come as no surprise, but it's the one that often gets neglected the most. And it's be aware of your wellness and your self-care. Right? This is an incredibly isolating time. Everything's uncertain. Everything's up in the air. The only constant is change right now. So you've got to be intentional with your own self-care and check in with those kids. So give yourself some time. Watch these 12 tips, 12 tips for remote learning. And you know, I promise you, Nicole will energize you and ignite some of your passions too in teaching. So my past suggestions, I feel like as we cruise along or limp into the winter break, or if you're lucky enough for those of you guys starting to be on your winter break, I feel like burnout is real, especially this year more than any other year. And I feel for the teachers, right? I'm not in the classroom this year. And you know, I just, from the experience I have popping in and out of rooms and just feeling the vibe, it's just, you're in a very difficult spot. It's hard for you this year. So burnout is a very real thing right now. So with that in mind, you know, you might've been listening or you might've watched Nicole's presentation. Like, yeah, I can do all this stuff, but man, who's got the time, right? There's just so much I have to do, or I lost the passion. I lost the drive to do it. Staring at a screen isn't what I'm here for. I feel like it's a great time to watch Amber Harper from the 2019 Summer Q Ditch Summit and her sessions called go from burned out teacher to burned in teacher. And it's an absolutely phenomenal, phenomenal session. You know, I was listening to a recent episode from Instant Relevance, and it was the same. I think it might have been Amber. I'm not quite sure. I don't remember off the top of my head. But it was the same methodology, right? Going from burned out to burned in teachers. And this session's phenomenal, right? She talks about giving you like her own experience through burnout, you know, how to prevent being shamed, feeling shamed for being burned out, how to go about taking action and opening up and being ready to take control of your own attitude to ease and alleviate that burnout you're feeling, right? She gives three different types of burnout, right? You could be, or actually four, really. You could be burned and over it, right? So you're negative, you're apathetic. You could be getting these feelings of apathy and negativity from yourself, your students, teachers, fellow teachers, administration. You know, you're just the Grinch right now. Just, you're done with it. You could be burned and unbalanced, right? You just feel like too much to do. There's not enough time. You know, things are being piled on, but nothing is ever taken away from you. How can you ever get all this stuff finished? And that's where a lot of the people I see are right now. And then some of you, which probably won't be most of you, but some of you could be burned and bored, which I'll be honest, that's where I was a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, over the past year, where, you know, you have great relationships with people in your building, your students or whoever you work with. You have a healthier balance of work and home life, but you just feel a little off, right? Maybe you're ready for a different challenge. Maybe you're just a little like, unmotivated. Or the fourth one is, if you're pretty good, you just need, you're in need of a slight adjustment, and that's it. Right. So Amber goes through and she talks about, you know, steps you can take to go from burned out to burned in. Right. She'll talk about how, what you can do to ignite your passions and start change, to spark change, what you can do, to specific things you can do to take action to bring about change, intentional practices you can do to make that change authentic and real and meaningful and lasting. And then finally, how you can go about finding that harmony between your work and your home life balance. Right. So if you listen to, you watch Nicole and you're feeling like, how can I ever do all this? Or even if you don't watch Nicole and you're feeling like, how can I ever do all this? Go back, 2019 Summer Q Ditch Summit, Amber Harper, go from burned out to burned in teacher. You won't regret it, I promise.
Thanks for listening to the episode. And until next time, remember, don't be afraid. Try something new.